My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius.
I am Iron
Man. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Post Credit Podcast. I am your host, Eric Italiano, senior writer at BroBible.com. Today, as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Kate Onder. You can find writing about video games over at comicbook.com. We also have our pal, our buddy, Brandon Katz. You can find analyzing analytics over at Parrot Analytics. Now, as you might have noticed, I do not sound that great. I am recording through my Bluetooth headphones. That's okay, because this is the last that you are going to hear of my voice during this show. I have been on vacation. I have not seen Spider-Verse yet. Luckily, Brandon and Cade have, so they are doing me the solid of chatting about the show for y'all. So with that, I'm going to pass it to them.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're really doing so much of a solid to talk about an awesome movie that we would talk about online with each other for free anyway.
Yeah. Eric, you're really missing out. Like, do they not have movie theaters in San Francisco?
I don't know, Kate. I don't know if you've gone on a big trip with a girlfriend yet, but the itinerary is not something that you have much control over.
That's fair.
Listen, if I can see movies in Israel when visiting long distance girlfriend, you can get it done, Eric. You just don't care about the spread pod.
It's true.
Girlfriend in Israel, just like I got my first hand job at sleepaway camp from a girl you've never heard of before.
She goes to another school.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Kate, I like that you came to play today wearing your Spider-Man t-shirt. So you are very much in the zone already.
Yeah, it's been a Spider-Man week. I got no one can see this, but my Funko Pop of Tobey Maguire.
Very cool. Got
a mug of Spider-Man next to me. I got Spider-Man all over the place. We are in the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, you're deep in the Spider-Verse and the web. I like that.
When I went and saw the movie, I wore this shirt. And when I came out, there was another guy wearing the shirt too. And I was like, you're my variant.
I like that. All right. So speaking of variants, I think that's a nice little segue into this kind of overarching topic. As anyone who cares about genre entertainment can tell from the last several years, multiverses have become a very particularly popular subtrend. And we've seen it, you know, I think kind of first on the CW with the Arrowverse. We've seen it in Marvel and DC. We've seen it in Rick and Morty. We saw it in the Best Picture winning Everything Everywhere All at Once. And we have it here in the Spider-Verse films. But I think I want to start to talk about, because this is now the go-to trend, both in and outside of franchises, what do you think it is about the Spider-Verse that sets it apart? What do you think the genre should learn from those lessons?
Spider-Man. Right? Like that's definitely like it's very on the nose, but like Spider-Man is the selling point in every universe. Spider-Man is always the best guy, right? He is the best of us, but at the same time, he is one of us. He can make flaws and mistakes, or he has flaws and he makes mistakes. And but it shows that throughout this movie in particular, shows throughout the Spider-Verse that's all part of the journey, right?
Right.
And that's very, very meaningful and special. And it shows
you're getting your Hallmark moment in right there.
Yes. And I think also, you know, it makes a very interesting point that all of these tragic events that happen to Spider-Man are fate. That is what is holding the universe together, so to speak. Which I think is really interesting. But also, I think just the willingness to have fun with the multiverse. It's really weird. Besides Everything Everywhere All at Once, I don't think anyone's really gotten too fucking wacky with these movies, right?
Yeah, I think we expected a complete and utter mindgasm of fuckery from Multiverse of Madness. And it really wasn't that. And in fact, the fuckery came from like the massive plot holes in that film that were, you know, obviously not the intention of let's get weird.
Yeah, no, like someone else pointed out is like the most creative thing they could think of in Multiverse of Madness is that red lights are green lights or whatever. Like it's inverted. And it's like, Yeah, that is pretty stupid.
We're just a bunch of wacky and crazy dudes, you know.
Marvel's really thinking outside the box. Like, we got it. We got our multiverse over here. They're doing things a little different. you put the cheese under the sauce, like Chicago pizza style, in the multiverse. Yeah. Yeah, this movie's like, what if Spider-Man was a dinosaur? What if Spider-Man was a car? What if Spider-Man was Legos? You know, just like, what does all of that look like? And we're going to jump through all these different locations and show you all these different variants and still have a heart at the center of it. So it's not afraid to get weird, because that's what these movies need, with the animation, the music, the characters, the locations. It's just willing to be as creative as possible. And I think that's something the multiverse is lacking right now, at least on like a weird level. Because I think like the Flash is like a cool idea, I think, on paper, of, you know, Flash has to go back to the start of the DCU basically with Man of Steel and do whatever it is they're going to do there. And I like all that stuff, but get weird. You have literally infinite possibilities with the multiverse, and no one is capitalizing on it besides these movies.
I will say, I agree with everything you're saying, but I also will say, you're sometimes constrained by your medium and like your distribution platform. So it's like animation, things are just inherently a little bit more liberal with what you can get away with and what you can portray. And then I look at something like the CW's Arrowverse, it's network television and it's geared at, you know, to be a very simplified, kind of very emotionally and thematic, straightforward thing that 13 to 18 year olds can really geek out on. So I get why it is, for lack of a better term, dumbed down. And I get why it's not necessarily super weird, because you can't, you don't have the space to experiment like that. But having said that, you know, I agree. I think there's been a problem with a lot of these types of experiments, and that is people forget that this is supposed to be limitless. Yeah. And yet, you know, I think we look at like the Multiverse of Madness, and it's very, I don't know, it's very prepackaged. Do you know what I mean?
I think the other thing is the multiverse is now, for these studios and the franchises, is not so much a tool for the limit of your imagination. It's just like, oh, we can go to the other movies that we made and we can bring them in. And like, that's all it is to a lot of these studios is, you know, we got Michael Keaton coming back. We have probably other people in that movie that I've seen online already and I don't want to spoil, but
I don't want to hear it. I want to be surprised.
And then Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
Thank you, Cade, because I did not want that spoiled either.
I almost slipped up.
Resident Batman guy checking in here to please say shut the fuck up.
I almost slipped up, but it's just been used as a tool to, I love No Way Home. I really do. A lot of people have said that is a movie that is held up by nostalgia. I don't think that's completely accurate, but it is, you know, that is the multiverse aspect of it, is using a lot of nostalgia, and that is what The Flash will do. So, you know, Spider-Verse isn't doing that really. You get a couple glimpses of some things you will recognize, but it's largely brand new stuff.
Yeah. So I have a bunch of thoughts kind of prepared for why I think Spider-Verse stands out from the pack, though. You know, there are entries that I mentioned that are using multiverse stories that I think do well, but when a genre becomes dominant in pop culture, you know, or overly saturated or popular and very frequent, we finally get like a course correction where studios will try, you know, just a whole handful of different takes on the genre in order to differentiate. You know, so Star Wars ushered in like a huge explosion of sci-fi, but a lot of them were in that kind of pulpy space opera, you know, a vibe where it's more simplified, it's kind of upbeat, it's a sci-fi romp. And then that was quickly followed by like Blade Runner 1982, which is like this morose, you know, esoteric sci-fi noir where everything's miserable and wet. So there's a lot of different course corrections, you know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sly Stallone, these beefy leading men, that gives way to like Bruce Willis and Die Hard, the everyman who's just getting by with pluck instead of actual like muscles or coolness, which is great.
As somebody who reps Blade Runner hard, that has to be the best description I've ever heard for it. Miserable and wet.
Yeah. It's just Rick Deck. It's just Harrison Ford really playing himself and just scowling in the rain with a cool coat. And that's it.
That's all you need, baby. Just vibes.
Exactly. And then, you know, if we kind of fast forward to like the superhero genre, we've got things like The Boys, which is, you know, very deliberately over the top and raunchy and R-rated. We've got Doom Patrol, which is extremely weird and supposed to be like very comedically out there. We've got Joker, which is this psychological character study, and all of them deliberately, intentionally setting themselves apart from the genre in terms of tone, style, subject matter. So I love that that's the trend we take, because everyone recognizes it's become a pattern and they want to do something different. I think a lot of these multiverse stories, not all, but a lot, and coming back to what you said, use the dimension hopping mechanics of the multiverse as the central storyline. That is the meat and potatoes. And it's that they're traveling and discovering new worlds. And that is the driving engine of the story. Usually, like you said, in service of stuffing whatever show or episode or movie it is with as many cameos and team ups as possible to kind of IP-ify everything to maximize dollars. And I get it. Mm-hmm. But I think Spider-Verse is very much the opposite of that. You know, the plots are very simple. If we just look at them and tear it down. Into the Spider-Verse, bad guy, science experiment, has to be stopped. All takes place in one dimension. Boom. Mm-hmm. You know, across the Spider-Verse, got to stop the bad guy and get home to my world to save my dad. Very simple. And the plots here aren't the engine. The characters are. And the plot is more so the road that they travel on. And I think even with across the Spider-Verse, with more cameos and team ups, there are arcs set up for pretty much every character, even the non-superhero characters. I think the second movie was at its very best, less so when it was traversing the multiverse and more so when it's using that to using its fantastical hook to illuminate like the struggles of parenting, the need for kids to rebel and to establish independence, you know, the need for parents to grow enough to let them go do that. The idea that we all have to move forward after trauma, not let it define us, which is really kind of what these canon events for all these spider people have done. So I think overall, if we kind of zoom out, we're still talking about superhero fatigue 15 years into this contemporary superhero boom that we find itself in. And I don't necessarily think it's that type of genre fatigue. It's more like audiences get tired, not wanting to sit through the same story over and over with just different characters, different colors. It's when you feed them something fresh and something innovative and something that remixes these archetypes, these beats of the genre without losing them completely. That's when you're more inclined to find your audience. And that's what it seems like these Spider-Verse movies have done and been able to stand out amid like a very crowded field. End rant.
Yeah, no, perfectly well said. Yeah, character is at the center. Spider-Man, we know, is a beautiful, well-loved, well-written character in every incarnation that he's ever been in, I think. Well, I shouldn't say every, but most incarnations, Spider-Man's a very beloved character and easy to latch on to, and it's easy to understand his struggles. And Miles Morales especially is a very unique thing here because he's the only Miles Morales, at least in this movie. He's presented with this, you know, situation where he has to kind of break the mold and be like, no, I'm my own Spider-Man. I am not Peter Parker. Yeah. That means I'm going to try my own thing, which I think is a very interesting thing. And is especially feels like some commentary on maybe on the Miles Morales is not Spider-Man thing that nerds on the internet have been saying for 10 years now, where they don't like a black person as Spider-Man. But
humanity is terrible, as I feel like we agree upon at least once per episode on the show.
it's you know, it's like, it's okay that we see fucking 5 million Spider-Men in this movie. It's okay for one of them to be black. I promise you, it's okay.
We have female Spider-Mans, we have anthropomorphic pig Spider-Mans,
we have a car.
Yeah.
So.
So now that we've kind of done overview thoughts, I want to know, how did you feel about the cliffhanger? Because I have some very mixed feelings.
I'm confused as to why they removed the part one from the title at this point. Because I think people, it would have just made more sense. It is a two-part movie. This is not a movie that has
like a traditional trilogy, like three acts.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But, you know, it's like this. It's a weird semantics thing.
It is. Yeah. Like it doesn't necessarily feel like. So like Avengers Infinity War, that was a movie that was like Infinity War part one and two, I think at one point. Right.
Yeah.
And then they changed that to be just Infinity War Endgame. Infinity War feels like a complete story, right? Like if you leave Infinity War and there's no end game, it's like, I mean, that was a complete story. Thanos won. That's just it, right? And you're like, that's a conclusion to that story. But this movie, it's like, I don't know, some characters get some little bits of resolution. Like Gwen, I would say, probably has like the most completed arc. But I think
I would still say Miles has a very good arc, though.
He does. I would say it's like 80% finished. Like it's like you get a lot of it and you can see where it's going. But I do think there's some lingering threads there. But yeah, I was ready to watch that movie for another hour at least. Just like I was really peeved that they decided to cut it where it was. It was satisfying in a way to be like everyone just goes, oh no. But it was a little frustrating.
That's the thing. I immediately want more, and I get that that's the point. And in that sense, mission accomplished. Your cliffhanger has me on the edge of my seat for more. I'm going to be in line opening weekend for part three or whatever. But at the same time, I still understand why. You know, they open with Gwen, who gets a really great fleshed out background and texture. And so to the point where then her and Miles finally meet up again, we know there's so much more going on beyond the cocky, confident, like I've got everything under control girl. We get backstory for a lot of other spider people. We get, again, like I said, amazing parenting, you know, emotional beats from so many different characters. So I get how they did not have enough space. And Phil Lord and Chris Miller have talked so many times about how they really, it took them several months to realize, oh, wait, we're not going to be able to do this in one story instead of trying to fit it all. So I get the logistics of that. At the same time, I really would not have minded them wrapping the story up in one film because it was so great and bursting with energy. And then maybe retract and go a little bit smaller for the third film in the trilogy, which I understand is not a traditional thing. You, in Hollywood, you have to keep going bigger. But I actually think that would have helped them, coming back to our first question, stand out from the crowd, because all of these multiverse stories keep just getting bigger and bigger and crazier. I think had they gone back down to size with, you know, a couple key characters once again, you know, wherever Miles goes, I actually think that would have been really refreshing, particularly given how big they swing in Across the Spider-Verse. So I have mixed feelings. I would have preferred a more complete story, but obviously I think they knocked this out of the park, and obviously I'm going to be here for part three.
I think what's worth noting, though, like, is, and you kind of said a little bit of this, is that they don't like waste time in this movie. You know, like every moment is earned and like doesn't feel, because there's a problem with some part one, part two stories is the part one is like they don't have enough. Yeah, just, to a lesser example, I think this movie is still pretty good, but like Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part One is like the setup for the massive fucking orgasm of Harry Potter stuff.
And it drags a lot. Two.
It does. And this movie is 2.5 hours and you get your money's worth. You get all the action, you get all the fun, you get all the emotional beats. I don't know how they could have reined it all in given, like I said, this is a 2.5 hour movie already. It does excite me to see what they may do next. Yeah. Cause I think the thing about the cliffhanger is I don't know where this goes. And I love when a movie does that, where it's like, I'm really lost. Like they, you know, plant a couple seeds with the team of spider people going to come look for Miles. But I got no fucking idea. I don't know what that looks like.
So not knowing where it's going, I think that's actually a good kind of launching point, because the Spider-Verse, as I refer to all Spider-Man related projects in entertainment right now, is crazy. Okay. Yes. So here's just a list of what is now like confirmed to be in varying forms of development. So we've got Kraven the Hunter, El Muerto, Venom 3, Beyond the Spider-Verse, Madame Web, Silk, Spider Society, Spider-Man Noir, Spider-Man 4, a live-action Spider-Woman movie, a live-action Miles Morales movie. So across movies and TV, that's a lot of spider shit. You know, that is a lot. So after this movie, how do you feel about this fledgling, growing empire of spider things? Like, are you more excited? Are you less excited? Because this is such a great installment. And then when I look at this rash of milking attempts, I'm like, I don't know, guys. You just put out one of what may be the pinnacle.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. And it's worth noting the Insomniac Spider-Man game coming out this fall is technically part of the Spider-Verse because he's in the game. So, yeah, and there's a Wolverine game that's probably connected to that game coming out too. So like now there's even other superheroes that are getting involved. I don't think Wolverine's going to show up and be on the Spider-Verse, but the entire lineup that Sony has is like whatever they do, it's either they give creative control to whoever is making these movies and it's gold. Sam Raimi, the Lord Miller, and I think even to an extent when they let Mark Webb cook, he was doing some good stuff. Like he had good ideas. I think a lot of the bad ideas.
All of his ideas were just rehashing the original Raimi Spider-Man and adding a bunch of complicated bullshit.
I will say this is all going to sound very weird when we get to our rankings because they're not super, super high. But I do think like the love stuff is very good. And I think some of the ideas with the loss and trauma of Gwen was going to be interesting. But that's besides the point. When they let their creatives do their job, they usually make something pretty good. When right. Sony is like, we want a Morbius movie, but nobody is coming in to pitch us a Morbius movie, so we're gonna fucking just lay it out and give it to somebody.
That's gonna let Jared Leto take the wheel.
Exactly. Like the El Muerto movie, nobody's going into Sony like, I got a brilliant idea for you guys.
I do want to know how development wise that came to bay.
It's got to be just Sony's like, we don't have the ability to just use Spider-Man because we have this agreement with Marvel. So we need to figure out what villains we can leverage. And we don't want to use villains that they're going to want to use. Like, that seems to be the whole thing. Is like, Morbius is not going to probably pop up in a Spider-Man movie, as much as I would like that. And El Muerto is certainly not. So it seems to just be like, what do we have? And it's just very corporate. So some of those projects,
because outside of like IP, I actually think Sony does a very good job with a very diverse, eclectic slate. They mm-hmm. work with interesting filmmakers. Eric, you want to hop in here?
Well, I just want to say, what happens if Madame Web is good?
I mean, I like
Sydney. Does your tune change?
It's not necessary that like I'm against Sony doing all this. I just find it. Wait, coming back to superhero fatigue. Of course, we want interesting, different stories. If they find a way to do that, I think, great, I'm open to it. But I'm someone who thinks the Venom movies are trash. Morbius was horrible. I don't know if their quality control track record really speaks to someone who's a studio that's going to be able to cultivate diverse, interesting stories that breathe a breath of fresh air into what is a somewhat stale genre. Not stale, that's not stale, but certainly overpowering.
Yeah. I would say from my point of view, in terms of the only character that we have whose proliferation is similar to that of Spidey is my boy the Bat. And yeah. I always say, like, look, if you want to give me as much good Batman shit as you want, I'll watch it. The thing is, a lot of these Spider-Man projects don't actually involve Spider-Man. So let's compare that to the Batman world, right? You have something like the HBO Max series Titans, which by all account is good. But I'm not making time for that shit. Now, however, if that was a Teen Titans movie, I might be more apt to check it out. So I think the combination is of having a creator with something to say, but also finding the right home and format for it to align with the expectations of the project and character.
Like, so you're going to be more forgiving for like the Amazon Spidey series that are coming out. Are you saying that? Like your barrier of enjoyment is a little bit less?
Yeah, or exactly. Or even like there's that Batman cartoon that HBO Max has sold off to Prime. It's like, do I need that to be the Dark Knight 10 times? Of course not. Am I going to tune in because my boy is in it? Absolutely. So, but when I think it comes to things like El Muerto, you build that up to be $100 million film, it's naturally going to tank. If you were to pitch that as like a goofy Hulu show, then maybe it's a different story.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Context matters.
Yeah. I mean, even thinking about like a Harley Quinn movie. Well, they tried a Harley Quinn movie. It didn't work. I mean, it was good, but nobody saw it. like the Harley Quinn TV show, I think is like a really good example of like, yeah, they're like, we're going to just get goofy with it. Like nobody at Sony is like allowing, aside from the Spider-Verse movies, allowing them to just make fun of things. Like, you could probably do an El Muerto thing, like you said, that's just a little tongue-in-cheek, whatever. I don't know. I mean, that name has no brand value, so I don't know if it really would work, but...
Ready for this? Peacemaker.
Yeah.
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 Same thing.
Like, Lord and Miller are in charge of the upcoming TV expansion of Sony's Marvelverse. I don't know why you don't just put them in charge of everything. They don't miss.
Yeah, it's, and it goes back to, like, Peacemaker was obviously something James Gunn was passionate about. He wanted to make that. Nobody at Warner Brothers was like, hey, you need to go make one of these. Like, nobody fucking said. They probably told him not to. Like, and he was passionate, and he had a story that he wanted to tell, and it worked. So when you make Venom, you got to make a story that you are passionate about. When I mean, that's just the basics of storytelling, is you have to make something you love. You can't just make something because of money, because nobody's going to go see a Morbius movie off the Morbius name. If it was called Spider-Man : Morbius, maybe you'd get some more butts in the seats, but then people would just be pissed leaving, because they're like, where the fuck was he? Where was Spider-Man?
Exactly. So
it's just a huge, I don't really know their strategy. You're more of the businessman.
All right, so let's wrap this up. I want to rank all of the theatrical Spider-Man movies. And I want to say that I have waffled on this so many times, because I've ranked them so many different times over the last couple years. And I'm someone who prefers live action to animation, just as, you know, a personal preference.
Sure.
But I really went back and forth and have, like, rewatched a ton of this stuff recently. So I'm just going to start us off Into the Spider-Verse. Spider-Man 2, Across the Spider-Verse. So two out of the three are the animated ones, because which I would never would have predicted 5 years ago. Spider-Man the original, No Way Home, Homecoming, Far From Home, Spider-Man 3, Amazing Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 2, Across the Spider-Verse, the original Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse, Spider-Man 3. Wild card for you. No Way Home. The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man Homecoming. Yeah, I kind of like that movie. I kind of like that. I love the web swinging stuff. Like, it just gets me going. It's
the web really swinging good. Is great. That's probably the best web swinging in Spider-Man.
And I like the Gwen Stacy and Peter Parker stuff in that movie. So it really elevates a otherwise pretty shitty movie. After Amazing Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man Homecoming, The Amazing Spider-Man, and then Far From Home.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Eric, weigh
in. Cade, quick. No, I would love to hear Cade's, like, you know, three or four Spidey people cameos that he enjoyed most.
In the this movie?
Yeah.
The Lego Spider-Man. I got a kick out of that. The video game Spider-Man, not just seeing him, but also there's footage of the new game in the movie. Like, Miles' roommate is playing the game on his PS5.
That's cool.
It's like super meta. Which possibly means Miles Morales is in that game that he's playing. You know, it's like, if you stop to think about it, it just breaks your brain. The parked car, Peter parked car.
That was good.
I don't know if I have a fourth one. I'm sure there is. I saw it a week ago, so I can't remember.
And then for my rankings, I think I'm going to go Spider-Man 2, Spider-Man 1, Into the Spider-Verse.
I'll be interested to see which one you like more, Into the Spider-Verse or Across the Spider-Verse, once you see it.
The fact that Cade has that as his second all-time, this, like, speaks huge volumes.
I mean, Across the Spider-Verse is great, and I don't fault anyone who likes it more than one. I just think because it was you know, a little incomplete by design, and I also found one is significantly funnier. Like, one is laugh-out-loud hilarious minute to minute, where this is, like, very much intentionally, okay, we're going to make you cry a couple times, and there's nothing wrong
with that. That's the good old Empire Strike back Infinity War Dark Knight thing. You've got to make the second one super dark. Exactly. No matter what. All right, boys, is that all you got for this, sir?
Yeah, I think that's all we got, and you got to see this movie so we can talk about it more.
Yeah, I know, this is probably going to be the first ticket that I pay to see, since Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is obviously a good omen. I want to thank my boys Brandon and Cade for doing this for me. Make sure to follow Brandon at great_Caspi and Cade at Cade_Onder. We will be back next week talking the other big multiversal superhero event of the summer, and that's The Flash. I also have a couple of Extraction interviews coming your way with the director, Sam Hargrave, and the lead actress whose name pronunciation I will have down pat by the time I interview her, but just not quite yet. All right, y'all. And if you haven't already, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we will talk to you next week. Peace.
Make him an offer again.
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius.